Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
It's Chuck and Julie on a Monday and a beautiful day.
No, Wednesday.
Day. We had Monday off, so it's Friday. Wednesday.
We're just going to go straight to Party Friday.
Party Friday, because we could use it. It's amazing out there. It's just incredible news on everything. The police officers in Atlanta charged.
We'll get to that in a second.
We'll get to that. And we've got every one of the stories we're going to have is about, we got attached to it because Colorado Citizen Press is a sponsor of the program. They did an incredible thing about dark money. We got Martin Arnold on, who's the king about money in Colorado and dark money. Knows more about it than anybody else. But Colorado Citizen Press came out with an incredible article about liberal donors in New York, Hillary Clinton supporters supporting Republican primary.
Yeah, dark money from Democrats kind of, we would never try to influence elections. We would never do that. That's bad, bad, bad. Except we're going to pour millions of dollars into Republican races. Another sponsor of the show real quick is Cenogenics. You can get to them at Cenogenics.com. We'll talk about the Atlanta thing. Want to let folks know, starting next month, we're going to be going to 5 days a week, and it's good because there is so much to be talking about now. We can barely fit it in. But let's kind of jump right into it with Matt Arnold from Campaign Integrity Watchdog. Hey, Matt, thank you for your time. Welcome to the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back on. It's always a pleasure.
So you read the article, I assume, in Colorado Citizen Press, or already knew about it, one of the two.
Yeah, I already knew about it.
I'd heard about which article are you talking about? Because there's one that was out a couple days ago, and is that the one you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, I've read that one. It's nothing new that we're seeing these dark money groups that are hiding their identity, getting involved in primaries. Obviously, I've won a number of cases against groups like that, including the one against Both Ways Bob and his so-called Colorado Pioneer Action group. Interestingly enough, from what I can tell, some of the same people are involved in that group. It does seem to always have a lot of the usual suspects. In fact, as I recall, one of the groups that's kind of behind this, and I'm not sure if it's that group in particular or another group that's kind of aligned with that, Unite Colorado, So that group is run by or represented by the exact same attorney who first represented Both Ways Bob in Colorado Pioneer Action. In fact, one of the attorneys now representing Unite Colorado and Colorado Pioneer Action is none other than former Deputy Secretary of State Suzanne Steyer, who of course is also a candidate for state Senate.
Right.
Running as a Republican, even though her claim to that title is somewhat dubious.
Well, and let's back up to talking about the dark money. What's interesting is you've said it's not certainly not the first time, and it's kind of tough being, I guess I would call a grassroots Republican in Colorado, because you have the liberal dark money being thrown at you. You've got the establishment Republican dark money being thrown at you. I don't know.
Well, the Colorado Citizen Press pointed out three races. One was Justin Everett's race. Yep. Went up against him. Grady Nunez went up against him. There's a third one, a person I didn't know. I think Pat Miller.
Yeah, I think there's one in Jeffco and two in Weld. I think one of the ones in Weld is Rupert Parchman and Barbara Kirkmeyer. Is that one of them, I think?
Yeah.
And
I've seen Parchman's ads all over the place. What's that deal?
Yeah, I'm not really in the detail of what's going on in that race. I do know that it's a pretty highly contested race. There are groups that are backing both of the candidates in that race. From what I understand, Rupert is a pretty solid grassroots conservative. Barbara Kirkmeyer, of course, is a longtime establishment Republican from that area. So, it's kind of breaking down the way it normally breaks down in those areas for primaries. Well, you get the establishment candidate backed by establishment money, either dark or on the top, and the grassroots conservative candidate who usually pretty much has to scrape and beg and borrow to get anything going, generally has more active, volunteers because people actually believe in the cause, but is usually at a money disadvantage.
Yeah. But, you know, the Colorado Citizen Press pointed out that $1 million had been given by a Hillary Clinton donor out of New York.
This Dark Money group.
Yeah. And
pretty soon you're talking real money.
Yeah.
Yeah, real money and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
And Mark.
And, well, let me finish.
Okay. just being crabby today.
Crabby. You know, Colorado has no chance of taking back the Senate or the House or any statewide office or, for that matter, for the U.S. Senate. And they're spending millions of dollars so that they can get Republican rhinos elected in a state that they don't even matter. I mean, it's just, they have that much money. I mean, it's unbelievable.
They apparently do have a lot of money. And like I've said of these liberal or squishy Republican donors, look, if you really are concerned about advancing Republicans in Colorado, you can do what you're doing, or really better, just take your money, take it all in cash, put it in a big pile and pour gasoline on it, light on a fire, because you'll get more entertainment value out of that. Right. Than wasting your money on these dark money groups. Hey, here's a great concept. You could actually promote groups that are espousing ideas and principles and help lay the groundwork to actually get Republicans elected in the state.
That
option seems to be right off the table.
How did they go to this woman in New York and say, hey, we need $1 million and we're going to give it to some rhinos in a state that Republicans don't matter? I mean, egad. I mean, that's a woman with a lot of money. I mean, you know, kind of like they don't need – Republicans are going to lose every race anyway. I mean –
I don't know about every race. And you know, the state Senate –
Every statewide race.
Every statewide race, because A, Republicans put up lousy candidates, and B, Republicans have no ground game, and C, Republicans are constantly tearing down any candidate who might actually have a shot at appealing to the conservative and unaffiliated electorate. They're going to tear them down because they only want their establishment cronies in. We'll dance there too.
You forgot D.
What's that?
Ballot harvesting.
I was talking about the Republican side. The Republican sides haven't figured out ballot harvesting.
The Republicans, no matter what they do, if they had the perfect ground game, they're not big in urban areas. And the easiest thing when you collect ballot harvesting is go to an apartment complex with 500 units and bam, 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 bam. Try to get 500 units up on the western slope from ranchers. I mean, Republicans, as long as they allow ballot harvesting, will never win an election statewide. Never. And I run ballot harvesting elections. I know.
What is that going on with the dark? I mean, let me kind of get back.
Well, I don't respond to that. I think nobody realizes that as long as you have ballot harvesting.
Jack, you've mentioned this before.
No, I never have. It's the first time.
It stacks the deck. Sometimes you can win against a stacked deck, but it makes the odds much, much worse.
Yeah.
What about going back to the dark money? You know, you are with Campaign Integrity Watchdog. Why don't you explain to folks what they have also done, both sides really, but I think to kind of rig things so that.
Not both sides.
Well, I think Republicans don't try
that's
it.
True.
You know what
that's
I mean? You know, they defend it. They defend when Bob O'Pre tries to use it, right? Yeah, who is a Republican.
Right. What? Well, some of the same groups are involved. I mean, you see a lot of overlap in the dark money circles between Democrat dark money circles and establishment dark money circles. You see, like the Citizens Press pointed out with this latest article, a lot of the money funding this latest establishment Republican dark money group is Democrat money. It's Hillary Clinton money.
Right, right.
No surprise. And that's not new either. I mean, you know, both ways Bob got mostly establishment Republican money, but he got a few, you know, Democrat shekels thrown his way as well. And they were only too happy to let him destroy Republican candidates who might have had a shot at winning some of these races.
Oh, yeah, we've seen what they did to Tim Neville. Well, here I go back to the whole campaign integrity part, and that is my problem with all of this is, hey, if Hillary Clinton's friends want to spend millions of dollars, God bless them, right? Whatever.
No.
If it's open and above board, right? That's
the point is, we should be able to figure that out. And right now, right. When you go to Tracer, where you can look at it, there's this group, and they all have names like, as George Anthonisopoulos would say, we support unicorns and fluffy puppies.
Well, this one
right?
is Unite Colorado, but the other right. one is Colorado's for Conservative Values, and those conservative right. values are Hillary.
It's a false flag, right? I mean, they're putting out these names that to a conservative. Oh, well, yeah, Colorado's for conservative values.
I'm for conservative values.
Why
do these rhinos want to be in the state legislature in which they're irrelevant? I mean, why do they care?
Chuck, you're going
because they can still make deals on some things in the margins. You'll look at a lot of the bipartisan legislation that gets passed. The so fat cats win, right? So they want to have their seat at the table.
No, I know. And Chuck and I have this discussion all the time. You just can't roll over and play dead, right? You got to keep fighting.
Tell that to the Republican Party.
But, you know, I just say Donald Trump.
I've been telling them that for years. They're not listening.
Yeah. Well, how then, Matt? Because it seems to me that, again, if you're just a person out there, and you're like, well, I want to get more in politics. In fact, I had a friend text me, and I won't go into it at all because I think they're still working on it, but is thinking about a recall, right? And they're like, how do I do it? And it's kind of like enormously complicated, and the players, the main players, make it extremely difficult. I mean, my guess is they all know who each other is, right? But if you're just trying to figure it out, it's like, well, who is, you know, Unite Colorado? And then you click on it, and it's like, oh, well, it's, you know, the fluffy puppy group. And then you click on that, and it's, you don't ever get rarely to actual names, right?
Well, right.
Yeah. Let me say that.
You have to dig, you have to know where some of the bodies are buried, and you have to understand kind of how it works. And in some cases, you only get the names after you take them to court and force them to divulge who's behind it, even force them to show who's representing them. That's a pretty good sign right there. I mean, whatever lawyer is stepping up to represent a group when they're up against a legal violation, that's a pretty good indicator of where they're coming from. If you look at who's doing a lot of their campaign finance filings, there are a certain number of registered agents and filing agents who always do the same thing for all the Democrat groups or all the Rhino groups. It's the same person.
Right, right. Well, it's my understanding that's what's going on with this dark money, that the registered agent for the conservative whatever that's pretending to be a conservative organization is actually the same registered agent for a bunch of liberal Democrats, which is how they start figuring out. How much do you think to me it seems like it must have an impact or they wouldn't bother doing it, right? I mean,
sure. I mean, you throw enough money around, you're going to at least swing a few votes, and some of these elections can be very close otherwise. In a number of elections in the last cycle were decided by 500 or fewer votes. I mean, that may have been enough to swing the majority in the state Senate.
Right.
In
right.
The state House, you know, because of the merrymandering that happened back in 2011, which back again, Republicans are just stupid about, because I happen to remember some schmuck who was reminding people about how important this was coming up in 2010 and how important it was to pay attention to the courts and the judges who are going to be ultimately making these decisions and how important it was to be involved in the process for this reapportionment commission. And the Republican Party, led by Ryan Call, was completely AWOL. And their lawyers tried to challenge. They had a feckless case, and they got their clocks cleaned in court as well. So you know what? Republicans, they don't fight very well, these state Republicans, and when they do, they fight pretty ineffectively.
They're great compared to like Mitch McConnell,
let me ask you this thing. What's Eli Bremer and all of the establishment Republicans trying to destroy
Ken Buck,
the one, you know, their own congressman and the head of their own party, and going to the Jason Saltzman, the world's sleaziest human being,
The world's sleaziest human beings pretty much live in El Paso County, Eli Bremer being one of them. Right. And you probably paid attention to, you know, his basically, you know, completely fraudulently ran the district assembly and kept a challenger off the ballot. There's no question that was the most ridiculously farcical so-called election with no secrecy in the balloting process. Stopped partway through. The person running it was a friend of Eli, Joe Webb, former Jeffco so-called Republican. All these cronies were rigging an election, and he got away with it. Ken Buck, to his great credit, tried to hold him accountable. The state executive committee, the state central committee, again, to their credit, tried to do the right thing.
Yes.
But Wayne Williams and Eli Bremer stepped up to find a nice judge who would let them get a pass. So they got away literally with stealing an election right in plain sight.
It was disgusting.
Well, with the help of the mainstream media, who are happy to do. I mean,
so that people don't get anybody, you know, so the fine court and the Denver Post and And Jason Salzman kind of goes, so the Republicans have no choice. So you got Larry Liston or you got Larry Liston.
Well, in the meantime, they're trying to cripple Ken Buck, right? Who is, you know, one of the –
Well, it's interesting that all these cronies that are getting involved with them. I mean, obviously you got the El Paso County mob, that little mafia, the Monument Mafia that's been trying to tear down Ken because he's not their guy, right? Like Jeff Hayes was their guy. And interestingly enough, other so-called Republicans, the Denver County Chair, Chris Cook, has been viciously attacking Ken Buck.
Well, what's happened to her? We used to know Chris from her KLZ days and so forth. And
back then, she seemed to be a conservative. She seems to have sold out.
Yeah.
Not just sort of sold out. I mean, hook, line, and sinker. I mean, everything. I mean, there's no body part left, not sold out.
No,
it's kind of
vicious on Facebook, too.
Unbelievable.
Well,
and just... Not just a sellout, but the viciousness and nastiness of these people. I mean, Chris is really going completely off kilter.
He starts attacking.
See some of the same groups in Dugco and El Paso County is just kind of the font of all this. And as long as these people continue to dominate Colorado politics, you're right. Republicans in Colorado are screwed. You're done.
Well, I know. In the meantime, maybe we could just get the Hillary Clinton people to give us money. We should call ourselves something.
Yeah.
Your campaign integrity watchdog, you should be like campaign fraud promoter or something like that, and then they'd start giving you money. Like, oh, we like campaign election fraud.
You know, I'm an alternate to the Republican convention, and I thought that that'd be great when we got everybody together because they could sell tickets for a fight. I mean, half the people in the room would absolutely despise and hate the other.
But not only like six can go, right?
And not only six can go, so that's okay. And
the rest if you guys can work out a cage match, I think that would be pretty good. You know, if you actually have a cage match and sell tickets, that might actually get the funding to get the Republicans back on top.
But you know, they had Eli Bremmer. So Eli Bremmer runs for Republican committee man, which, you know, until now I had no idea what that position was. But you know, then they had Randy. Randy Corbin runs, so all of a sudden, you know, I go find out what it is and try to support him and try to gather votes for him and all things that you do. And we're kind of going to Randy's really uphill. Bremmer, El Paso County, he'll do great.
Power.
And he's got some. Eli Bremmer, 14% of the vote. I mean, he's a guy who's just loathed by everyone.
That mob has their own little bubble in which they are pretty dominant. I mean, El Paso County,
that
mafia runs it. But in the rest of the state,
but they don't want El Paso County.
Well, that's why they're going after Buck.
Yeah, they got squeezed out of Republican. Vicky Tompkins is a chairman.
And they've been viciously attacking her and spearing her and trying to tear her down as well.
It's like a piano's going to fall on her head, you know, like in the
Well, they've tried, and she managed to get it back from him, and I have no idea why.
They need to knock it off.
Why are the Republicans kind of like the worst human beings ever? I mean, Bob Beaupre, you couldn't find him in Kazakhstan. Somebody as hideous and awful as that guy is.
Don't slam other countries. Speaking of that, Matt, you've like now for like 80 years been, all you wanted to do was like get the name of their donors, right? Call
whatever
crazy.
Pack out of Utah
all
they
you're
set
trying
up.
To do with Campaign Integrity Watchdog, like a million years later, you keep winning a court battle, they keep being ordered to do this, ordered to do that, ordered to pay a fine. And what's the status? I don't know how you don't get exhausted doing all that. What's the status?
Well, yeah. So the paying of fines thing is very difficult because the problem is that the Secretary of State, both Wayne Williams, who was absolutely complicit in this whole little Monument Mafia, refused to send these things to collections as they were required to be done by state law. I mean, the state constitution makes it crystal clear. Debts owed the state shall be collected by the state. They shall be referred to collections.
Right.
And Wayne has just adamantly refused to do that to shelter his buddies and campaign contributors. Utter corruption. Yeah. Utter corruption. And then one time, after kind of being called out on that, he did go through the motions of sending one case to collections against Ryan Call's group that was also in this whole little El Paso County thing. But as I found out later, he referred it to collections, but he didn't provide them any of the information they needed to actually collect. He gave them the name of the group and nothing more about that, including the fact that they had an insurance carrier who they could have gone after directly to get that money. They just didn't do that. So, again, just utter corruption, hiding these these violations along just refusing to impose any penalties. So you go through all this, all these court battles, you fight these massive drawn out trials that go on for weeks or months or in Pioneer Action's case, years, over a year, you win, you get a judgment, and they just blow it off.
Well, there you go.
The Secretary of State does nothing. And then the other option, which has been, again, a constitutional option, the party who brought the complaint can then take on the enforcement role, which again puts you, however, opens you up to enormous risk, because if you lose, then they can come after you for attorney's fees. Now, if you are a campaign integrity watchdog and not yet an attorney, you cannot win attorney's fees, but they're defending, being defended by attorneys, they could presumably win against CIW.
Well, then
so that's why, in this case, against Pioneer Action, to enforce that judgment, CIW did hire a lawyer, actually Randy Corcoran. And that case is going to trial on July 1st.
Okay.
We have the hearing set, and the evidence is overwhelming that Colorado Pioneer Action simply has refused to obey the court order. And because the action is to enforce that judgment, the district court, if they follow the law, and they should, will issue an order telling Bob and Suzanne and that whole little coterie of crony crooks to not just pay up, but to actually obey the court order, to actually file their reports and put that out on Tracer so it can be visible. And oh, by the way, in this case, pay attorney's fees to CIW, which will be paying Randy Corcoran. So go, Randy.
So you haven't been following the Flynn case. The district court should and would, and it's clear, and there's no question about it.
Yeah, Chuck, for a slam dunk case, which means about 60-40.
Yeah.
So it's a slam dunk case. So it's about 60-40 we win.
60-40. Well, you got to wonder, though, Matt, what is it that they're trying to hide? I mean, they probably at this point.
They don't remember anymore.
Right. Way more in attorney's fees. If they would just have donated that to the Republican Party, everyone would be better off. So you got to wonder, why are they fighting so hard? Because this is what they're fighting about.
No, they're not.
No, wait, let me just finish. They're fighting against having to reveal the names of the donors.
They revealed it, and it ends up being some,
No, there's more to it.
They kind of sort of reveal part of it. There is of course a dark money group funding the dark money group in this case. Which is the majority, or at least a huge chunk of their money came from yet another dark money group. So it's peeling the layers of an onion, right? So you have to unpeel one layer. And then part of the problem is you have a statute of limitations. By the time these things even come to trial, the statute of limitations for enforcing it has already expired. And thank you, Colorado Supreme Court, for a judgment which basically said, even though it's impossible to file before the statute of limitations, we're going to uphold the statute of limitations. So calendar days apparently matter if you're trying to enforce a judgment against someone who actually broke the law, but calendar days don't matter if it applies to the legislature and when it can be in session. We have a kangaroo court, we have a kangaroo legislature, we have a kangaroo governor, we have an absolutely abysmal system of governance in Colorado, and we've put up with it.
We're trying, people like you, people like us, we're trying. But again, that's where the cabal cracks down, right? And you've faced it, we faced it. These people, they don't like people to ask them questions anymore.
Yeah, you get a victory here and you get a crack here and there, but the problem is unless and until these people are really penalized heavily, And it'll probably take a federal case. And an interesting thing with Bob, both ways, Bob and his group, is they filed as a federal 501c4 organization. Well, they committed tax fraud. So the IRS, there's a complaint filed by the IRS. Are they actually going to look into this? They should, because it's pretty massive tax fraud. In that case, all those people can and should go to jail. The problem is, how do you get them to actually investigate?
Well,
it's pretty low on their priority list, unfortunately.
And I think you hit it on the head, that the key word here is corruption. You have all of these politicians, and I think judges to a certain extent too are protecting.
Yeah, really.
We have deep political corruption in Colorado, no question.
Right. Everybody's protecting each other, and they want to continue doing business this way.
I used to think New York and New Jersey were corrupt, but Colorado really outdoes them. They really do.
I mean, Colorado is extraordinarily corrupt, and most people don't know it.
No,
because they are a bit better at covering for each other. And unfortunately, there's nothing else that exists as a mechanism to come after it. The reason that New Jersey corruption comes up is because the mob gets involved. Well, now the FBI gets involved. Now the federal government gets involved. Now they have an interest in going after it. In Colorado, the mob is the politicians. So there's not a separate nexus that the FBI cares about. It's the mob is running the state. No question. It should be RICO.
Yes.
But they're just running the state. So the feds don't care.
No. Well, thank you. Now I'm depressed.
Well, what other things are you working on these days?
Yeah, we just come, yeah.
I'm trying to wrap up a lot of these cases. You know, we do have the one against Colorado Pioneer Action going to trial. There is another campaign finance complaint that I filed against Colorado Pioneer Action. That looks like it's moving forward with the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State has recently reached out, got some more evidence from CIW. So we'll see what happens with that. Again, it's dragging out forever because the complaint was filed back on the 13th of April. Here we are, see, May, June, yeah, 2 whole months afterwards, and it still hasn't even gotten to be referred to a judge yet. Again, the Constitution says complaint, referral, 3 days.
Yeah, it's this whole quarantine.
That's what happened. Well, it's not the quarantine. It's just the process that they have done. They've hijacked the constitutional process. And then I also have about a half dozen other appellate court cases that are challenging the process, that are saying, look, the Colorado Supreme Court, in their ruling that upheld the statute of limitations, also upheld the constitutional provision that upholds the private enforcement of these violations. So all the rules that Wayne Williams and Suzanne Steyert wrote and Jenna Griswold expanded on, and then Jenna Griswold helped get a complicit legislature to make into statute, it's all anti-constitutional. So we have a Supreme Court case which said, yep, the constitutional provision, it's still there, it's still operative, it's still binding. Therefore, and my argument on appeal in all these cases has been, well, then all these rules and statute that are contrary to this constitutional provision are void. They're void ab initio. They are as if they had never been.
Yeah.
Well, now, if we can actually get a court to apply the law, then we can roll this stuff back and restore constitutional order. It's a big if.
Big 60-40 slam dunk case.
I would say, just get your mind off. Just watch something nice and mindless like Paw Patrol. Oh, no. Paw Patrol been taken off of television as being too controversial. Forget that.
Well, the good thing is my kids have loved Paw Patrol. I do have the video, so at least we can watch those if they can't watch it on TV.
You could start selling them on eBay. I know, I was going to say you could have some pancakes and syrup, but no Aunt Jemima syrup.
No, that's gone. That's gone. No, Uncle.
We have lost our collective minds. It's insane.
Thank you,
Matt. Great to have you on. Best of luck.
Yep. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. Matt Arnold there with Campaign Integrity Watchdog. He is the go-to guy.
He's
been fighting forever, fighting for campaign integrity.
Let's get fired against.
Hey, want to open it up now. And if you want to call in, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008, or go ahead and just unmute yourself and bring your camera up if you're joining us on Zoom. Wanted to jump into, there's so much to talk about. We got the whole NBC trying to get Google to target the Federalist website. We've got, there's all kinds of stuff going on, but breaking just as we came on the air, and I wanted to talk about this, the district attorney in Atlanta?
Fulton County attorney
announced that they're going to be filing 11 charges against a police officer who was involved in that shooting.
And his partner has gone state's evidence, which is a smart move because he would have gotten crushed too.
And he's facing 3 charges, but 11 charges.
I'll let him go on that.
11 charges, including felony murder. I want to see what you think about that. I guess I have mixed feelings about it. Now I'll start and then everybody can call and tell me I'm wrong.
Okay.
But I think that on one hand, the guy was running. The police officer thought that he had a taser, or he did have a taser, apparently. There had been a struggle. And in a situation like that, normally the police officer would be able to say, not normally, but previously, he would be able to say, well, I thought he had a weapon. I thought he was going to shoot it at me. And I was fearful. Okay. You know, I've seen conflicting stuff on that. Did he? Okay. So, and anyway, so he shot him. So there is that. But I think to me, when you take maybe that instance, that portion of it, maybe yes, maybe no, but then you look at what goes before and what comes after. So they wait for 2 minutes to try to render aid, which is, you shouldn't. I mean, I think the police officers are trained. You're supposed to immediately render aid. I mean, I've talked to cops.
Really?
I've talked to, well, I mean, that could be.
I've watched him on the ground for 10 minutes. You know,
well, I know what I'm saying, though, is they didn't do that. He apparently kicked him after he was down. Now, my guess is going to be he's going to argue that he was trying to see what the deal was. But the other thing is, though, where I get back to, and this is why I think we need police reform. So here's a guy who fell asleep at the wheel, apparently drunk, at a Wendy's drive-through. So the cops were called to handle it. And then they talked him for 40 minutes. So I have a couple questions. One, what are they talking about for 40 minutes? Why are they even doing that, right? And number two, it does seem to me that if you fall asleep drunk behind a Wendy's, in the drive-thru to Wendy's, you probably deserve to be arrested and prosecuted for DUI, but it doesn't deserve a death penalty, which is indeed what happened. And I think that for too long, and I know those people may disagree with me and call in and do so, but I think for too long, the police have been... For instance, the guy who, there's another guy in the national scene who shot at some people he thought were Antifa, and it turns out, no, they were just construction kind of workers, right? Mm. So he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. He doesn't get to say, well, I thought they were Antifa and they were danger. And I think for too long, police officers have just had the benefit of the doubt. And if they can turn around and say, well, I thought there might be a problem, then they can shoot and kill people, even though the overall situation didn't even remotely warrant that. I mean, in this case, for instance, they had the guy's car. They knew who he was. So if he ran away and escaped, so to speak, he would be found very easily.
He wouldn't be found very easily because he wouldn't have gone back home. He was on, he had gotten out of prison.
Well, yeah, okay, then this is the other side.
He was on a felony, child molestation, child abuse.
Right, not a nice man.
I don't know if he's not, you know, and so he wasn't going to go back home and wait for the police, but you know, the police have far too long gotten away with murder. I mean, it's just murder and brutality. And being in their own little gang that gets to push everybody around because they got the guns and they don't want you to have the guns. But this one, to charge him with felony murder with a possible death sentence, obscene.
I mean, yes.
It's obscene. I mean, you know, maybe a manslaughter charge, 11 charges. I mean, that's typical of today's legal system. You know, you're not charged with one thing. The system is rotten and the DA is rotten and the whole...
And here's my other side, because like I said, I have kind of mixed feelings on this. I would bet $1 million if I had it, that if this had happened last year at this time, the cop wouldn't have been charged at all, even with all the videotape. And I think just what happened with the other police officers in Minneapolis, initially they were charged with lesser crime, and then because of, no, I have no doubt about a political pressure, all of a sudden it's felony murder.
I have no problem with that. When that shows a depraved heart, I mean, I don't think it's good, because you can get them in second-degree murder, first degree, a third degree, and get 25, 30 years.
Well, they're doing it for politics. That's my problem with it.
Well, it's always been there for politics. And the hideous, awful Amy Klobuchar, with a nice smile, but really vicious to other people. Not one police officer ever was charged in any case. And she said, well, I took it to the grand jury. What can I do? And, you know, you can indict a ham sandwich, but I couldn't indict one police officer. She said, I'd change that now.
You could just direct, I mean, not direct, you could just charge him, right?
Well, yeah, but you wanted to give it a fair hearing.
Right.
No, I mean, you know, grand juries are a joke, right? They're originally set up so that innocent people wouldn't be brought into the system inadvertently, and it quickly got taken over by prosecutors and judges, and it's become a corrupt institution where they get to run whatever, if they don't get what they want, like happened in Boulder, the JonBenet case, and they just
But you're digressing onto your anti-prosecutor, man. I think, though, in
same thing.
So what do you think? 888-627-6008. This one is a tricky one, and I think you're right. The Atlanta case is far different from the Minneapolis case, and I also think that it is way more politicized. I think a year ago, this would happen, no way. And I think on that end, now I'm going to defend the police officers. If you go out and doing your job, right, and a year ago, you would not be facing the death penalty. All of a sudden now, I have a feeling that there are going to be a lot of outraged police departments, and I think we're going to bear the brunt of it. I mean, they need to quit this going from extreme to extreme. If I'm a cop, it's like, you know, if I respond to no calls, then I get, you know, I mean, and I, in a way, I got to say, I couldn't blame them for that, right? Because there has to be at least some consistency and some rules and some standards that you can go by. And I think the clearer and the faster we can get to maybe some new ones that I think are necessary, the better.
Who says it'll obey them?
Well, what I'm saying, though, is if it, at least as a cop, there has to be like an expectation of, you know, what the repercussions are. I guarantee you that that cop who went was talking to that guy and then chased him with the taser did not think that today he would be facing the possibility of the death penalty. Well, yeah, he would have just said, have somebody else answer that. Mm. So I don't know. I mean, it's I think, like I said, there are situations, and we've seen them all too often, where it's a relatively minor thing that escalates rather than de-escalates. And all of a sudden, somebody ended up dead.
They always say you need better training. You need better training. Well, apparently this police officer just went through 9 hours of de-escalation training. So it didn't work out.
Maybe that's why they were spending 40 minutes. I have no idea. And, you know, we're going to try to get Mark Poff on, a former El Paso County Sheriff investigator, on Friday to talk about this. I have no idea what they're, if you're a cop, number one, you would think that they're busier in Atlanta than having cops could sit around chatting with a drunk driving suspect for 40 minutes, right? Because apparently the talk is, well, but I mean, then I don't know, then maybe they need to do something else. Why are they even doing that? To me, that creates a dangerous situation too. If the guy's drunk and you're drunk, if you're behind the wheel, even if you're asleep and you're not driving, if you're in a drive-through and you're behind the wheel,
well,
and the
keys
are there,
okay,
just charge a guy with DUI and move on, right? Mm-hmm. I think you're asking for, I don't know what, I have no idea why they're going on like that. So there's that. The other thing I wanted to talk about, and Chuck, I almost wanted to maybe like almost interview you, is the Supreme Court. Recent Supreme Court decision on the LGBTQ rights situation, right? What I think on that is that on the one hand, it is certainly a gay rights issue, and that's important. But I think that there are, if you're a Republican or conservative, even broader issues with, once again, the courts legislating rather than legislators legislating. And the reason legislators don't legislate in Congress anymore is because they just don't, right? All they do is they take their money from lobbyists, and they, as you said, go on to big contracts later on. They issue court projects.
This will be massive litigation on for years and decades.
Well, explain maybe the broader implications.
Well, the broader implications is that the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which prohibits discrimination based on race, national, gender, sex, do they mean that for that also applied to transgender people who felt like they should use a women's bathroom? That is a transgender thing. Hey, I'm being discriminated against because I want to use a women's bathroom, or wants to play on a woman's team. So, you know, I kind of compete better against women, so I'll be on that. So that'll be endless litigation. And in 1983, you get your attorney's fees who win. So there'll be thousands of attorneys happy to go into politicized
courts. This is good for attorneys these days.
Well, everything's good for attorneys. So the world is made
made by attorneys.
But it's a disaster. It's an absolute disaster. And it's addition to that. And we have all these people who we say, okay, you're going to be what you call, you know, originalism, you know, what was meant by this at the time, and textualism, what does a text say? And that prevents you. And the other side is that things evolve, that community standards evolve. And if they evolve, then the only person who's going to tell you if they've evolved is the judge, and he gets to determine where they evolved. So they get to make any law they want to. They're
right.
Free to do
and
whatever they
thing.
Want to. So you get these two people, Roberts, Chief Justice, and Neil Gorsuch, who this incredibly strained interpretation of what sex meant. It was put in as a joke, actually, by the senator who put it in because he didn't like the legislation at all. But he certainly wasn't thinking about tranny rights. And they just interpreted so it did. And so there's nothing. Yeah, and Josh Hawley, who, you know, there are three people who I really, well, four, but Trump, of course, Kayleigh McEnany, the press secretary, and Josh Hawley, who came on saying, and he said it in the context, and it's on Conservative Treehouse, you want to watch the whole 13-minute speech, but he said basically the Faustian bargain made by evangelicals, but I think it's all real conservatives, is that as long as we get judges and you'll protect us, our institutions, from being just run over and destroyed by Democrats, we'll go with all with your 1%
rhino-y
multinational corporations who hate our values, who hate our country, whose CEOs can't wait to get off the Tucker Carlson show as an advertiser. We'll do it. But now you find out it doesn't matter Yeah. Because the judges you appoint will quickly just turn on you because they think it'll make them whole.
Well, and I got to tell you what, too.
It's the worst decision in my mind since Dred Scott. And people don't really understand what Dred Scott said. You're talking about, well, a black man's, you know, chattel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What Dred Scott said is we're going to impose the slave regime of the South all over the whole United States. You in New York don't want to have slavery wrong. You have it now. Everywhere you have it. And you know, he thought it was a 7-2 decision. So they vitiated the 1820 compromise, which allowed slave states and non-slave states, and said everybody has to be a slave state. It was the biggest grasp of power ever, you know, back in 1852, I think it was. Maybe it was 57.
Well,
and this is another one where they've destroyed the country. And it doesn't matter who we appoint. I mean, who thought of Neil Gorsuch? I mean, you could. Based on a lot of it, but he's just gone bonkers. Roberts has gone, and so it doesn't matter who you appoint. They always turn one way. They never turn the other way, and it's just endless litigation. And why does anybody want to have a company in the United States if everything is a lawsuit?
Well, and that's my thing too. It's, you know, I mean, they're going to try to turn it, they being the progressives, into this is all about gay rights. And it is about so much more than that. Gay rights, I support gay rights. That's good.
Let me finish. You have mandatory sodomy for 4-year-olds?
I was going to go ahead and say, but you interrupted me. What I'm saying is I don't think that you should be fired if you're gay. And Colorado has protections like that. The problem I have with this is go to your legislature, change the law and do it that way. Don't have these judges set it down, and it becomes the judges. They're supposed to protect us from the legislature. And again, I go back to, you know, Mitch McConnell doesn't want to deal with this. Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to deal with this because there's controversy surrounding it, right? So they kick the can. They don't do anything. It's now you have judges who are not elected, who you can't get off the bench until they die. And all of a sudden, they are making major policies and major laws.
Let's go to one of our Zoomers.
We got Ben Nicholas. Hey. Joining us in Zoom. Hey, Ben, thank you. I haven't seen you for a while. Good to see you.
Yeah, I've been in and out of town, so I've just been trying to catch up on the podcast.
Well, thank you.
Excellent podcast with Miss Kennedy. I really enjoyed that one.
She was good.
I just wanted to throw my two cents in on this. I think that Chuck is right. This is probably one of the worst decisions to come out of that. I think it's just one additional step. It's a step closer to identifying the gay community as a protected class.
Well, they are protected class now.
Under affirmative action hiring processes. Yeah. Well, there's no statistics, though, that are floating out there as far as availability statistics with people have certain requisite skill sets for hiring practices. So mm-hmm. I think this is just – I'm sorry?
Yeah, but it's skill set. Skill set. Yeah. That's so 2019, Ben.
Well, that's true. So anyway – that's what I think is happening. And it's just one more step to that direction. The Atlanta thing, yeah. That again was pretty bad about what we saw on the tapes, the video, and then the aftermath after they did shoot him. Now, some are claiming as the attorney, I think the district attorney's claiming that he was standing on the body.
Right.
And yet the officer supposedly claims that he was only standing on the arm. So whatever angle that camera may be, who knows who's telling the truth. But it was a bad incident all the way around. I think that there's a lot of police officers that are out there that are sickened by what two police officers now have done to the entire community.
Well, I got to tell you, I see total different thing about one who deliberately tortured a human being for 8 minutes. And another one in the heat of a battle where his guy takes his taser. If he'd hit him with his taser, that guy was in trouble because he could come back and just killed him.
So, that's right.
I mean, that one is the first one I think is really depraved heart police officer. I don't think that's true in the second one. I mean, I could see him losing his shield. I could see him charge him with murder. He got
with the death penalty.
With the death penalty, you know, there's probably no shooting you couldn't do that.
I think that there's a report out there that this police officer also had some sort of a disciplinary actions taken on him.
Yeah.
A 10 or more, I think, is what they were saying. So, again, these are sad situations that have taken place there. But I don't think you have to paint all police officers.
Yeah. And here's the thing, Ben, and I keep pointing this out too, because, you know, the progressives, you know, they're jumping up and down and they're hollering about all of this. The reason that the bad police officers don't get fired are the police unions. And the reason the politicians don't deal with the police unions is because the Democrat politicians get elected with the help of the police unions. So there, in my opinion, many of these Democrat politicians are complicit in all of this, right? They want to complain about changing things, and then they turn around and they take the union's money. And when the union tries to make rules, they go along with them that say you can't fire the officer for this or this or this. It's happened constantly in Denver, where they get fired even, and then the police unions have the power to appoint the hearing officers that overturn the firing, and Mayor Hancock does nothing. He's the one who appoints the hearing officers. So, you know, again, I think we have to be careful not to let the progressives off the hook on this and let them take all the credit for fixing things, when the reality is they're the reason the problems exist in the first place.
I agree. You know, that it's the devil, you know, that you made the deal with. And that's what's happening. And of course, you know, you can see what's what the result of the progressive Democratic governing has brought you in many of these cities, including our, you know, our own in Denver.
Right. So, all right. Hey, thank you, sir. Welcome back to town. Glad to have you back.
I just want to say before I go, great intro. I love your new intro.
Thank you. We like my
parts of it. Like.
Yeah, we'll have to try out the new club and see if that gets more distances too.
There you go. Thank you, Ben.
All right. Well, let's talk about synergetic. Talk about age and maintaining your healthy. You're as old feeling as you want to. I mean, you're going to be aged, but you can age biologically. You can age with great health that can help manage it. Help you with your hormones, vitamins, diet, exercise, so you feel great. There's no reason that you don't have to feel great. No reason why you don't have to be able to be not in that risk class for COVID-19. And Synergetics does, and Julie McCallum does it. And the easiest way to start, just give Julie a call. Just talk to her personally, and she'll set up a free consultation down at the office, not with an assistant number, with her herself, and she's unbelievable. And all you have to do is call 720-387-3681. That's 720-387-3681. It's Cenogenics, CENEGENICS. You'll be the happiest call you ever made.
Hey, Len, one other topic then, too, I want to jump on. We're going with so much to talk about today. So I don't know if you saw this story, but it's out there all over the place. And as it resulted in, Chuck is going to point out accurately, nothing will ever change, but the Department of Justice and Josh Hawley, I think, are both trying to talk about legislation to hold some of the big tech platforms accountable for, I guess, libel. And at least if they're going to be censoring things, then they have to be subject to the same rules, say the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle does, or anybody else does. So NBC is horrified, of course, about the Russians trying to intervene, even though it turns out they weren't trying to intervene. But then they are trying to intervene. The NBC is working with an organization in Brit, basically.
Well, it's one person.
Well, oh, yeah, you're right. It's one guy, exactly. And so this organization decided that the comments on the Federalist website were hate. Right. Yeah. And so not the site itself, but we're hate. So NBC tells this to Google, like somehow Google isn't able to figure this out itself. And then so Google, under pressure, apparently begins to demonetize the Federalist. Of course, the Federalist hollers. It's all a mess now because Google is denying it. But NBC was initially reporting that Google was demonetizing the Federalist for being a hate speech and having hate speech in a hate organization, which turns out to be not true at all. Nothing is even true like that at all. And so once again, you have these big tech companies, right, going ahead and censoring conservative talk. There was another one, and I guess this is kind of along the same line, and they do that because they want to have the cancel culture. And I think we're seeing that caving in to the cancel culture does no good. Thank God for Tucker Carlson. Mm-hmm. You know, what I think is great, what was the one? It was the guy, so Kayleigh McEnany, at one point, 12 years ago, had tweeted she liked Domino's. Domino's tweeted back, thank you, Kayleigh McEnany, way before she was press secretary, right? She was just a customer to her, right? Or to them. And some guy who works for, the whole point of the Lincoln Project is to prevent Trump's reelection. He digs this up, tweets it, and tries to sort of cancel culture and shame Domino's into like, and make everybody start boycotting Domino's, right? And then Domino's, I gotta find it, I love this. What they do, they don't cave in. They simply tweet back, hey, you know, they say, hey, you know, it's unfortunate that thanking a customer in 2012 would be viewed as a political, would be viewed as political. Guess that's 2020 for you. So go, you know, Domino's.
Yeah, get a
pizza from Domino's. Stand up, because what was going to happen? And to contrast that, what, to kind of bring it back to Colorado, what's going on with Walker Stapleton, right? Tate Anderson, a Denver school board member, for God's sakes, decides that Stapleton
they've gone through two votes now.
But
they say, no, it's okay. It's, you know, the name's okay. And they go, no. Tay Anderson says, no, it can't be.
Because here's,
we're going to come out there and burn you down.
Right, he threatens to riot and protest. And Stapleton, here's the thing. Years ago, Mayor Stapleton was a Democrat and a member of the KKK. Now, is Tay Anderson storming the Democrat Party headquarters here in Colorado?
Is he going to Robert W. Byrd? Is he going out the Byrd Highway? Everything
right,
else? Stapleton, actually, notwithstanding his brief dalliance to the KKK, was probably one of the best mayors in Denver's history. But you know, as Kayleigh McEnany, our goddess of the right, said, well what? Well, maybe you're coming.
anyway, so ahead, sorry.
You know, well, Roosevelt, you know, what about him? He interned the Japanese. And Woodrow Wilson? I mean, talk about a blazing bigot.
Well, and again, why isn't Tay Anderson saying the Democrat? You can't use the word Democrat, right?
Yeah.
Democrat was a party of the KKK. That's getting rid of
and
that.
And so Walker Stapleton cannot turn over and
take
a kneel. I mean,
and he says, oh, it's a good idea. It's like, yeah. Walker Stapleton, get a clue.
Who cares?
Right? Do you think if, well, there's that. But if you run for governor again, do you think they're going to say, oh, you get a pass here? I mean, you were spineless when they brought it up during
you
the
gubernatorial
collection.
You're the new spineless of the spineless. If Cory Gardner is not the spineless person,
I mean,
this
is the thing. And they target Stapleton because they know they got a lot of scared people there who, having voted twice against doing this, are now going to go ahead and do it. So the Stapleton Front Porch is going to have to change its name. Everything's going to have to change. Do we have to change Adams County's name now? We can't be Adams County. Exactly. How about Jefferson County? You know, and El Paso, that sounds bigoted and racist to me. It just sounds like cultural appropriation.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. And so thank God, at least for Domino saying, you know, heck with this, right? We're not gonna let you. I don't know. Just bully us.
And it was nice that, you know, they just had last week's ratings come out on cable, and the top cable show was Tucker Carlson, followed by Hannity, followed by Laura Ingraham, and notwithstanding the fact that, you know, they're not on that program anymore. They put them elsewhere on Fox, you know, Neil Cavuto or something. But, you know, I mean, people are gravitated to somebody has something to say.
Something that's true. I mean, that's true.
Well, it has something to say. Everybody has a different truth, but it's something to say.
Or just truth straight up.
And he's the top-rated cable show. I mean, it's just, you know, people, yeah, and I do. I mean, I can't wait to hear.
No.
If I miss it at 6 and I get him at 10.
You know, and my guess is Tucker Carlson would probably not call himself a conservative. I mean, he's not a Sean Hannity Republican, right? But he's just got this basic common sense, the kind of stuff we try to do here. And it's like.
Well, he's much brighter.
Than us? Than Sean Hannity. But I think that you have to push back, because here's the thing, the truth straight up. It's not an accident that all of this is occurring. All of these people, they need to get rid of Trump, and here's why. And this is why
Here's another good thing. The Trump rally in Tulsa, which I think seats 15,000, 20,000, there's over a million requests, a million ticket, a million! I mean, Tulsa.
But they're all going to get coronavirus. Trump is irresponsible.
And the goddess of conservatism, Kayleigh McEnany, held up a paper of the New York Post and all these ones. And, you know, they all screaming, yay for the riots, all the millions, everything else.
Nobody even buys it anymore. Well, but what they need to do, they need to shut Trump down. And this is why you don't see very much pushback from Republicans, because you have the uniparty on the one hand, where Trump is interrupting the gravy train, right? Sundance and Conservative Treehouse wrote a great article where he said, you think the people in Congress work for you. Well, they don't. They work for the lobbyists, and the lobbyists work for the giant, mega, global corporations.
Okay, I went on today, you know, turned my computer on, and got this huge color ad saying, well, you stand with Cory Gardner and the Chamber of Commerce for kids in school and getting jobs, you know? And, of course, the Chamber of Commerce.
No, they want to give them H-1 visas,
right?
Kids in school
and
India.
So I signed up. Oh, yeah, let me have Cory for kids and for tech, and that's great. You know, you fooled me. I just wouldn't know. Wow, you guys.
That's the thing.
You, Corey, you're so tricky.
They want to get rid of Trump. You've got the progressive left, which is also the same thing. They're all corporate people, too. You know, you look at the guy who's the warlord of Seattle is like a millionaire, and he's got three different, you know, luxury cars.
Nice to be a warlord.
Right, yeah, nice to be a warlord. He's selling drugs or selling guns, or just handing out guns in the back of his car. I mean, this guy is no Antifa, poor, downtrodden guy. It's all a joke, and that's why they want to stop Trump, all of them. And that's why they're doing the cancel culture, because they want to stop people from telling the truth. They want to stop the Federalists. They want to stop Tucker Carlson. We had Facebook. I put a thing out. It was about the guy who was using his cell phone to try to capture the signals.
The protester got pushed by the cops.
Ooh, right?
Did Julie get some pushback?
Oh, such Facebook.
You bigot, you false
they
news.
They labeled us fake news. And Facebook said.
I didn't know it. I didn't know it.
Chuck was like, but you know what? They didn't care about it until Donald Trump tweeted it.
You should have anticipated that.
And the thing is, so if you do anything that supports Donald Trump, they are cracking down on you. And I think the best way to stand up is to stand up and to be like Domino's and say, you know, so what, right? It's like...
So they want to get rid of the Confederate bases and the queen of conservatism said, well, why don't you get rid of, you know, Woodrow Wilson, Trump, Roosevelt and everything else. And what does Mitch McConnell say? It wouldn't matter to me.
Because the Chamber of Commerce doesn't care. So, and they won't do a thing.
But then I get a little ad. Mitch McConnell, I need Steve Daines with me. Could you get some money?
No.
No.
Not giving you any money. Hey, guys, that's going to wrap it up for us this Wednesday. We really love to have you check out our podcast. You can just go to chuckandjulie.com. That'll take you to the YouTube link. And once again, with
College Citizen Press, you know, part of our show today was based on one of the great articles they did. We want to thank Matt. He's another one of our heroes.
Campaign Integrity Watchdog. Check out that website. Yeah. But I was going to say what we really do too is appreciate everybody who subscribed to us on YouTube.
Yes.
And please go ahead and like us and subscribe too. Thank you to the great guys at BBS, and we will see Doug and Don, and we will see you all at the real Party Friday.
Party Friday, yes, it's Party Friday again. We got to make every day a Party Friday.
There you go. We'll see you next time. Thanks,
Take
everybody.
Care.